Ephesians 4, Paul begins a series of, it's like, you know, most epistles have this kind of introductory section, then a section that deals with problems, and then a section about how to live your life. And this section begins the part about how we live our life, and he asks us to live up to the calling which God calls us to. And that is probably, you know, for us, it's the most important question we ever ask ourselves. You know, do we live up to the gospel of Jesus Christ? You want your life to be more than words, right? You know what I mean? There's a lot of folks that know the words about Jesus. They know the words of salvation. They know the words of the gospel. But when it comes down to actually how they live it out, it's not the same. And you want your life to meet the words, you know. I remind you, like, when Paul talked to his disciple Timothy, and he said, Timothy, you know who I am. You know what I taught, and you know how I lived. And if we, you know, are true with ourselves, we know it's sometimes a lot easier to know the words than it is to get it right, to actually, you know, live it out. So as we go through this section, there's going to be things that, you know, probably tell you, you know, here's a place where I need to grow. Here's a place where I need to think about how I'm going to do that better. The good thing for you guys is you get to listen to this for 20 minutes. I spend like a whole week meditating on these words. And man, do I, you know, wow, okay, I got to get that right. Here's another place, you know, where you're trying to grow. You're trying to measure up to the life that Christ has called us to. So the question for us is, are we doing that? And what's required? What's helpful to us to do that? So we're going to read, this is the text for the day, Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. So this is the beginning of basically five different things that he's going to talk to us about. This is about the qualities of character that we need in order to live as a Christian community. To live with people, you know. It'd be a lot easier to be a Christian if you lived by yourself. You know, you close the door, you never talk to anybody, you do anything, you know. It'd be so much easier to live it out and to be, you know, sanctified, right? If you didn't have to talk with people or deal with problems, right? But the reality of it is we do deal with people, we do deal with problems, and the qualities of God will help us to do that. The next section, which we'll deal with in weeks to come, are, you know, there's a quality of you know, mature doctrine. Do we really know the words? You know, do we know the truth about Christ? Then there's the moral character. So here you have kind of characteristics. Today we're talking about characteristics or qualities of God in us. Then there's the moral side of it later we'll deal with. And then the qualities of a Christian family. How do we live this out in the tightest unit that we have, right? Ephesians 5, you're going to talk about, because that's what's going wrong with this world, right? We know the family structure is like the bricks of a building. And if all the bricks are crumbling, what's the building going to do, right? Okay, so you deal with the quality of the Christian family. And then finally, you know, defending our faith in days of evil. So those are the areas that are coming up, you know, that have to do with living a life worthy of the gospel, living a life worthy of the call. So he says, you know, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And this calling is something that's been talked about in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And that's what Paul, you know, he begins by telling us, you know, God is the one that predestined us. God was the one that made us holy and blameless. God adopted us to be his children. All the great promises of God belong to us. He made us a part of his people. He gave us a part of the inheritance that he's been promising throughout all Scripture. That he's, you know, he's made us his people. That's the calling. See, the calling is that God, you know, saw us when we were strangers, when we were far away, and He brought us near. The calling is that God loved us so much that He sent Jesus to die for our sins to make us to be able to stand up, to make us to be able to stand in His presence, right? The calling is that which God has done, all that work that God has done in us and all that He wants to do through us, right? So it's a big, major calling. This is talking about, you know, the idea of everything that Christ is and everything that God intends for us to be. And then He says, there's a life that needs to measure up to that. There's a life that needs to measure up to all the work that God is doing. See, when I fail as a Christian, when I fail to do what's right, it really bothers me because I basically am saying, you know, God failed, right? Because God's working in us. God's making us. When we fail to do what's right, when we fail to be what's right, we say something about God. We're walking around claiming to be Christian, claiming to have Jesus our Savior, right? And then when we mess it up, well, that claim gets diminished and the power of God gets diminished. Not that you can ever really diminish God, but it's our testimony. It's what we're saying. You know, God said this about the people of Israel. He said that, you know, you know the words, you go through the ceremonies, right? He says, but you blaspheme my name all day long because you're not living up to the standard that I called you. They weren't living up to being God's people. And so it wasn't just the, you know, the ceremony of worship, and it wasn't just the idea that they knew the words, but it was what they did. It's how they worked with each other and talked with each other and live their lives. So this idea of a worthy calling, Paul, you know, uses it in Philippians. He talks about it in other places. It's really important that we understand, you know, God expects from us this way of life. And so the first section, again, is this idea of these characteristics that Paul mentions to us. Say, life worthy of the calling is to be completely humble, to be gentle, to be patient, and to bear with one another in love. I want you to notice the last two. It sounds like it's be patient by bearing, but it's actually two things, and we'll share that with you. And then make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. These characteristics are found in God. The characteristics of our relationship with God, creating humility, creating kindness or gentleness, creating patience, and then the other patience. The word patience is actually used twice, two different words though. These are all things that come out of God. It's like when Jesus did the Sermon on the Mount, He started with, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek, right? That would be gentle. Blessed is the one that's persecuted and endures the persecution, that kind of thing. That these are qualities that are found in God and are then found in His children. So again, this idea of Christ being our Savior and us becoming the children of God is about us sharing the qualities of the character of our Father. That we begin to think like Him and look like Him, to behave like our Heavenly Father. And so that's what Paul's calling us to. And he's also like calling us to this character that will keep unity, that we don't, you know, have to split up. We don't have to fight and tear at each other. We, you know, this is, again, our culture is one of every time something gets uncomfortable, what do? We leave, right? Marriages don't stay together, you know, families don't stay together, nothing stays together. Churches definitely don't stay together. There's a disunity that takes place. And these qualities that Paul is calling us to, the qualities of God, our Father, that it should be in us, they should help us in every relationship that we have. And so the idea of it is to keep that bond of unity. So I want to look at these words, to be humble. Low in mind, literally, is what it means. To not think of yourself, you know, too much, or to think too much of yourself. You know, Jesus was God, and He walked in humility. One of the ways that Jesus walked in humility was He became less for the sake of others. You know, Jesus could have stayed where he was and been, you know, with the angels and in glory, but he diminished himself. He became less for the sake of others. He humbled himself, right? So that's one way that humility looks. The other way I think that humility looks is the idea of taking our place, taking, you know, whatever God has given us and taking our position. We don't shirk from that. We don't say, oh, you know, like for me, if I say, oh, I'm not a preacher, I'm not going to, you know. Well, no, I can't do that because God called me to stand up and to speak the words, right? And so I have to take my role, but I also understand that my role came from God. And that everything good about me, whatever I do, whatever I think, whatever I teach, or whatever, you know, we are, anything that's good came from God. We received it by grace, right? So if we're right-minded in relation to God, you know, first of all, we're under God. We're under His authority. We're not thinking of ourselves as big. We're thinking of ourselves as God gave me, you know, whatever gift God gave me, He can give to somebody else, which means I could be replaced like that. You know, I mean, that's right. You know, so we stand, you know, in humility before God. We take our place. We do our part in a way that is pleasing to God, right? The other part of this is the poor in spirit, the low mind is the idea of, you know, what happens in the world, the way people are. People, when things go very well for them, they get filled with themselves, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you've ever been around people like football players and stuff like that, you hear about it, man, these guys don't go around, their egos, they fill up our whole room, right? People that are very successful in business, I've actually had more encounters with that, where their ego just inflates them, and they can't say the word I enough. I did this and I did that and I, you know, and it's this inflated ego. There's really no place for that in the Christian community because all of us are dependent upon our Father. There's nothing good in me except for what God gave me. There's nothing I can do on my own that's right unless God helps me. When one guy said, you know, when you see a turtle sitting on a fence post, you know it had some help getting there, right? Whenever we do something right, whenever we do something good, whenever the work of God comes out of us, we have to, you know, that humbles us because we say, I didn't do that. Thank you, God, for being so kind to me. Thank you for helping me to do something right, you know? So there's humility. Humility helps us with each other because if I understand that I stand by grace and you stand by grace, what's different between us, right? Am I bigger than you, better than you, or right? No, we're the same. We're all standing as God's children in need of God, in need of God's help. And if there's anything good happening to us, it's because God is good to us, right? And so we stand on the same ground. We're the same. So humility is a community builder. It's a thing. It's an aspect of being with God that helps us. The second part is you know, the second word is gentleness or friendliness. You know, God is a God of love. He cares about the world. And He is reaching out. He is not, you know, I mean, just think how bad it would be if God was only self-interested. How lonely would we be? How cut off would we be? If God was only self-interested and it was only, you know, looking inward like humans tend to do, man, we would be lost and destitute, hopeless, right? But God is not like that. God is loving. God is reaching out. God is kind. He's friendly. He's looking to bring us in. And that's what we should be about. You know, we should be about being friendly and gentle, kind. However you want to translate that word, it's the idea of trying to help others to understand who you are, who God is, to build a relationship that might help them see who God is. You know, some of you guys, you work in places that aren't, you know, Christian. And it's like, how do I share Christ? And you know, part of it is being Christian and having that kindness, that gentleness, that humility that goes with Christianity, that it really is different than what the world does. It's different than their attitudes. These attitudes and this character comes from God. These qualities are God qualities, and when people see them, right, it hopefully attracts them. Might make them throw stones at you, though. You never know, right? Because you never know how people respond to God and what he's doing. But the hope here is to build these qualities in ourselves, to make sure they're there, to do all we can to keep these things going in our lives, again, for the unity, for the peace, that, you know, we're glad to see each other. We care about one another. We're reaching out instead of inward. What about me? Yeah, it's how are you? And meaning it, not just saying it, right? Then there's one of our favorite words, macrothumia. Be patient. The interesting part of this, there's two words back to back that mean be patient. This one has, it means to delay anger. It means to delay or restrain wrath. God is filled with macrothumia. It doesn't mean that people don't deserve punishment and don't deserve anger, right? Do you run into sinners in your life where you just kind of want to say, stop it? You know, you see it, right? Macrothumia says, I can put that aside. You don't judge. You don't condemn. And those words go together, by the way, judge, condemnation. That means where you write somebody off. That means where you say, you know, basically, you go to hell. And as far as you're concerned, they're dead. Or there's, you know, you're dead to me kind of line, right? Macrothumia, the idea of not, you know, taking your anger out when people are wrong. This is not when people are good and I'm mad anyway. This is like people are wrong. They're hurting you. They're sinning. And you don't act in anger. You don't unleash the wrath that they deserve. Think of this, you know. We all deserve wrath. We all deserve wrath because of sin, right? What did God do for us? Did he get us right away? Did he come with flames and fire and give us what we deserve? No. He restrained his wrath in the hope of our salvation. He holds back that anger. He holds back that wrath in hope that we will do right, in hope that we will repent. And hope that we will become his children instead of deserving wrath, that we can be adopted, right? That's God's action. And so as you say, you be the same. You do the same. It's not that people don't deserve wrath. It's that what they need, right, is God. And if we give them wrath, they'll never find God. So we restrain the macro, you know, the wrath. I like that word, macro, meaning long, thumos, meaning anger. So it's the idea of waiting a long time before you unleash your anger, patience. But I like macrothumia. It's God. It's what he does. And so he's asking us to do the same thing with each other, that we would not unleash anger, but we would restrain in the hope of salvation. Now, it doesn't mean we can't correct each other. When we correct, how do we do it? In love. We correct in love. We can tell somebody, hey, your behavior is wrong. But what is our hope? To help them, to save them, to make them realize, hey, you know, it would be better for you to do this differently, to rethink how you're living, right? We don't ignore sin, but we don't unleash wrath on sin. We try to correct. We try to help. And that's the next word, is to bear with one another. Or be patient with each other in love. So the first part of this patience is, I'm going to be patient and not unleash my anger. Just think about that, married folks too, right? The whole idea of, okay, I'm gonna hold this back. I'm angry, you know, and you say, okay, I'm not gonna unleash this. I'm gonna hold this back. What happens? After a while, you know. Well, no, you calm down if you're right. You know, no. Yeah, or later it blows up in your face. No. Yeah. But bearing with one another in patience, in other words, understanding. You know, I mean, my wife is very understanding. She knows that I'm nearly perfect, but I have a few little things that need to be worked out, you know. And she bears with those things in love, right? Okay, there's a whole bunch of stuff she puts up with, yeah. But the idea, again, bearing with something in love, bearing with the faults, bearing with the need of change and the need of growth, bearing with that in love, in the hope that it's going to happen, God will grow you, God will help you, and I'm not going to punish you, I'm not, you know, so you have the restraining of anger and the unleashing of love. That's, and both having to do with patience. That's what God is doing with us. Again, even in our Christian walk, as we live our lives and we mess up, right? I mean, we have not been perfect. We have not done it right all the time. And God bears with that in love. So first He restrains His anger. He doesn't unleash His wrath on us. And then He bears with us in love. But the hope of all that is that we'll grow and we'll become more and more and more His children. And that's how we're supposed to be dealing with each other too. The hope is that we grow more and more and more into God's children through these characters. So the idea is we put these things together, right? Humility. Another great description of the lack of humility is like when a third string tight end decides not to block, and I'm going to catch the ball and be a hero, even though that's not my spot, right? You know, you don't want that. You want everybody doing their part and taking their place, right? And if they do that, things go a lot better for you than if some guy who isn't equipped says, I'll take, you know, no, don't do it, right? I left that one out, so I thought I'd bring it back in there. Yeah, so humility, kindness, restraint of anger, patience and you know, and love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The thing is that the work of God, the power of God in our lives, you know, one of the things, usually on Sundays after church, after we've worshiped, after we've prayed, after we've celebrated the Lord, I usually feel a very great presence and peace and unity, love for folks. You know, just a sense of, and he says, make every effort, work really hard at, right, keeping the unity of the Spirit. What God has given us is unified, right? What God has given us is unified. It's sin, like selfishness and self-importance, anger, hatred, right? All of those things tear at the unity. And what Paul has said is our Father isn't like that. He wants us to be more like Him so that we have the opposite of what's normal. And instead of tearing at the unity, we work hard to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. And the way he concludes this is there's one body, one Spirit. You were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. The idea is we're all in this together. And we need to care for each other. We need to be there for each other. We need, again, all those characteristics. They help us to care for one another. Because it's God. There's one God who is the Father of all, over all, through all, and in all. In other words, who's working in my brother? God. Who's working in my sister? God. Who's working in me? God. Who's trying to bring this thing together and make it, you know, to the kingdom of heaven? God. Let's be a part of that. Let's be a part of keeping it together, of working along with what God's doing, right? To have the qualities of God in our lives that build unity, that build peace, that build joy in the Holy Spirit, yeah? Well, let's prepare our hearts for communion.